Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good evening, afternoon, whatever stage in the diurnal cycle you happen to be in. And welcome to, I suppose, what might count as a landmark number. This is Gatecast episode 75.
Yes, it is number 75. Good evening, everybody.
And this is I would go as far as to say it's almost a trope, this week's episode. You know, our main crew have their memories erased and are captured and put in slave labor. We've seen it in, I know we've seen it in Voyager. I say we've probably seen it in TNG as well, or some other science fiction shows.
Oh yeah, it's a often used story. Unfortunately, it's been done a lot better by other shows.
No, said he, because I have sort of faintly warm and fuzzy memories of this episode.
Well, I watched it yesterday and honestly, I struggled with it. I found my attention wandering all over the place, which is bad when you should be watching one of your favourite shows. But not every episode can be a stellar episode. Got to have some lemons in amongst a bunch.
Yes, let's see if we can make lemonade with it, shall we?
Indeed.
Hi, I'm Kevin Batchelder.
I'm Wendy Hembrock.
And I'm Brent Barrett.
And we're the hosts of a new podcast called Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV,
where we discuss sci-fi and genre shows currently on television and some from the past.
We're fans just like you, so join us in our water cooler and back porch discussions of your favorite shows.
And strangely enough, you can find us online at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Be seeing you.
Wait a minute, isn't that what Bester says on Babylon 5?
Maybe. I never watched Babylon 5.
What? So you're a sci-fi geek who missed one of the best shows ever?
Hey, no details, no spoilers. I'm still catching up on DVD myself. Besides, we're not really experts or critics. We kind of think of ourselves more like guides or sci-fi Sherpas.
I don't carry anyone's luggage, though.
Yeah, me either. We're what we like to call the viewer's digest for genre TV.
Yes, we're interested in the conversation shows generate.
And speaking of sci-fi Sherpas, where would you find one of those?
Craigslist?
Oh, see what I have to deal with?
In 3, 2... By the way, you don't actually need to leave the countdown in. 3, 2, 1, clicky. Fade in on... a flame. Probably a gas flame. Because it wouldn't actually allow them to use combustible material. He looks like an ex-wrestler.
Yes. Lots of beefcake in this episode.
Sort of shades of... Well, I wouldn't say shades. I'd say foreshadowing of Spartacus Blood and Sand. They've even used some of the same actors.
I'm afraid some of these may have gone to seed by the time Spartacus was filmed.
Duke doesn't look anywhere near as built without a short arm, does he? The arms are kind of down a bit. And why can't we see horror without a short arm? I mean, come on. Fair is fair. I have actually read a chunk of the teaser. This is from the description. The teaser's transcript is very descriptive. And it gives the impression that the teaser itself is quite long.
Well, it feels long. I mean, so far, we're well into it and nothing's been said.
Yeah, nearly a minute and a half. And we have... Yes, I am your glorious leader.
Colleagues! Your attention, please. I'm pleased to report that thanks to your hard work... we now have enough reserve energy to heat the greenhouses for the next 2 months. Special merit to the workers of Section 23.
Sure, definite nods to communist factories, isn't it?
Oh, yes. The actual artwork and production design for the episode has been was based on Metropolis, Fritz Lang movie.
We will reclaim our place on the surface.
And what the hell happened to Carter's hair?
The first episode of the new cut. And they seemed it was appropriate because here she is, as an obviously not as the Sam Carter we know her.
No, that looks awful, and it does actually look damp and greasy. And
well, at this stage, you know what's going on. You know, we've seen them in kind of prisons before.
Hmm.
And at this stage, there's no real clues.
Kagan, how about some breath?
Sorry, just gave away the last piece.
Oh, here we go. Every time.
What is your problem?
I don't have a problem,
and we don't have any bread.
Is there a problem here? Stay out of this. Jonah, there are other people waiting.
Give her the damn bread!
Well, we have a clue there because they're giving names other than their own.
Yeah.
This is not right. A few of you have friends on here.
Stay out of it.
We are part of something called SG-1. I am Tilt. Do you not remember?
Somebody get this guy off me.
Get him upstairs.
We don't belong here. You must remember. We must escape.
Brenna, it's my honor to serve. I don't know that man.
I know, Jonah. Don't worry. He's night sick.
So for 3 minutes, this is one of certainly our longest trailer of the season.
Give Thera her bread.
And that is not bread. That is what Americans call biscuits.
Or a cracker.
Everyone finish, back to work.
Yes, I'm just catching up with you. Yeah, that's better. My playback was at two-thirds speed. I didn't notice it for a minute. I thought the voices sounded a bit off.
Written by Heather E. Ash.
Yes, wrote 6 episodes of Stargate and story editor for another 18 episodes. Hasn't done a lot before or since, though.
Have we seen? Maybe she was married to under production crew.
Yeah, who knows?
Nepotism alive and well in Canadian.
Well, let's face it, J.K. Rowling's only written 7 books.
Yes, I know, and they're actually properly edited. It'd probably be about 3.
Yeah.
I reserve the right to bash Harry Potter on the grounds that I did read 6 of them. And I've seen most of the movies. So I'm an informed basher.
That's all right. Beneath the Surface. Aired September 1st, 2000.
Nice industrial set.
These pumps regulate the overflow.
Yeah, it's the same facility they used for Watergate and Tin Man.
They do like the facility. What did they do? Just buy it?
I just leased it, I suppose, if it's unused power plant, doing nothing, just sitting there.
There was this guy once a couple of years ago. Tried to smash his way through one of those skylights.
Mouldering gently into the Canadian countryside. Now in Canada, they either level it or recycle it into upscale apartments.
Beautify it or something.
Yes, well, plant trees around it anyway.
This place would have been buried under ice and snow and you would have frozen to death along with everyone else.
Right.
Is he using an arc welder without goggles?
Whatever they've done to Tilk. Oh, that's not good.
Oh dear. I think he might actually be ahead of you.
Right ahead of you now. Gary Jones. Okay, yep.
What happened?
Terror Rothery.
So Sam's still...
Bright.
Uber-geek. Yeah, Uber-geek.
Uber-engineer.
Yeah.
Actually, I think there is. If we set up an automatic relief valve on each of the stabilizers, we could vent the excess pressure. Yes. I've done some calculations.
Obviously excites her. She seems all for it. Wide-eyed. Oh.
Yes. Well, maybe your other one is gay. I mean, who wouldn't fancy Sam, irrespective of what gender he actually are?
Jack doesn't seem to be that productive, does he? He's got his wrench and he'll hit things with it.
He's Jack.
Yeah, Jonah.
With range.
Yeah, in this case, Jonah.
Do you think there's still a degree of affection between them there?
Well, even from this brief example, it seems to be even more definite flirtation going on.
Good.
Brenna wants to see me. She wants to hear my ideas for improving the plan.
You know, you could take a few minutes off.
Please. You work just as hard as I do.
That's different. It's called stamina.
Have a good shift.
Because it's Sam and she's smart. There's...
Right.
This is why Daniel started working out.
Here she goes. Why does Brenna listen to her?
I realise they're going to dress them in sleeveless outfits. That's Keegan, played by Kimberly Hawthorne.
Oh, Kimberly.
Seen her in Jeremiah and the show called Whistler, which I haven't actually seen. So I've no idea if it's...
I remember. I'm actually watching Jeremiah at the minute.
Tilk said we were friends.
Mm-hmm.
His name's not Tilk. It's Tor. Night sickness.
Oh.
Stock footage, clearly stock footage, not even shot in the same format. That was shot at 35.
Very well.
How are you doing, Walter? Q, Big Arrow, bad guy.
Yes.
Administrator Calder.
General Hammond.
You see, if this was proper MST3K and we actually had the video running, we could do the arrow.
We're good.
You're a bad guy.
Could have our own little silhouettes in the bottom.
One could have survived this long.
With all due respect, Administrator, I'm not ready to give up on my people just yet.
We could just insert random silhouettes. People have no idea what we look like, especially since I modified my privacy setting. People aren't even sure what gender I am.
Major Carter first expressed an interest in exploring the glacier. I tried to explain the danger, but Colonel O'Neill was quite overly confident that they could handle the conditions.
So this is Calder, played by Laurie Murdoch.
Mm-hmm.
Canadian actor, obviously. Been in Flashpoint and Taken.
Wasn't everyone in Taken? So what city is that in the background? Toronto? Matte painting?
That's a matte painting.
It seems to be moving. It's got twinkly lights in it.
Oh yes, lots of twinkly lights. You can see a very different standard of living for this guy compared to the people down below.
Tell Brenna I want to see her tomorrow. I'd like to know how our new workers are doing.
Daniel seems to have gone dark awfully quickly. Ooh, does he see the Stargate?
It's a bit more stock footage. Nick from Small Victories.
Go ahead.
Go where?
The other side.
Carlin. Don't listen to him.
How boring. You have a dream, and that's what you're going to dream about at Stargate.
Well, I mean, if he was going to dream and she was going to be in it, I'm sure you'd have allowed things to go a little further than that.
Major, what's your status?
We're on the UAV. We're sitting silent right now. But I have the data, sir. It doesn't look good. This place is pretty nasty.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of Major Griff just recently.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Ferrier.
It's not great, is it?
What happened?
I was injured.
When?
Took back in the bandage mode.
Yes. It saves a lot of money when you can just wrap a bandage around and actually say it's because of the story, you know?
Yeah, it saves us having to actually either mold or CG or do dual puppet type stuff. You know, tuck your stomach into you.
I suppose there's a lot to be said in terms of being raised to hard manual labour. You do develop a low body fat, was it?
Mm-hmm. BMI. BMI is bullshit anyway. It's based upon measurements taken in the 30s. We need to update it.
Last week, during morning
life. I wasn't here last week.
You said we were friends and you said we had to escape, and I'd really like an explanation.
I said no such thing.
They had a bit of problem with the rocks they were using in this little furnace.
Mm-hmm.
They were exploding. Some sort of trap gas in them. And after a while, they'd just go like popcorn. Poof.
Daniel gets hurt.
One of the extras got hit by it. They ended up having to bring in, pre-fired ceramics. More expense.
They just use coal.
Well, like you say, the look of flame, but not the uncontrolled aspect of it.
Which is what I said. I figured it's probably a gas flame because they can kill that immediately if it's burning actual combustible material.
Night sickness affects your mind.
That doesn't explain the dreams I've had.
I said there's some sort of relationship between Keegan and Carlin, as it is here.
How much subjective time has actually passed? How long have they been missing?
I'd imagine no more than a couple of days.
Now, people hear you talking like this, they're going to think you're night sick.
People?
Not that I would ever. Carlin.
No, of course not.
A team has actually lost contact for more than a day. General be wanting to send troops in.
Well, he did.
He had to ask permission, and he'd been, kind of delayed, saying they were searching for him, for them.
So this is SG-1's answer to Hoth?
Yes, a nice ice planet. Can't go wrong with a nice planet.
Yeah, well, it's very simple to decorate. Give me white. Lots of white. She doesn't know, does she?
Oh, she knows everything.
Does she?
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't the memory stamp work on Teal'c?
I'm sure it was the creature his species carries within them. We've stamped him again. This time it seems to be holding.
And what about the others?
They're all proving to be excellent workers. In fact, Thera has some very interesting ideas for improving the plant.
Thera?
The personality we stamped Major Carter with.
Brenna, played by Alison Matthews, is fully aware of what's going on. She knows they've been brainwashed. the notion that they're humans.
Where is she standing there holding the file out at a distance nobody, not even an orangutan, could actually reach? Is she not even allowed to approach the desk?
I think even at this level, there's them and there's us. And he's one of them and she's one of us.
Mm.
He's at the higher level of their society. And even though she's probably living a very comfortable life, she is a civil servant.
She is a trustee and he's a warden. Appropriate analogy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What would be so wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm sure they'd fit right in. Of course, they don't even know the city exists.
We could tell them.
That they've been lied to all their lives. And how would the people of the city react when there was less to go around? When they had to make room for workers? Right now in our city, Brenda, we have no crime. No unemployment.
But
they're happy where they are. That's what the stamp assures.
Problem, of course, is with this brainwashing, if you do anything wrong, then you could just disappear.
And yet not. You disappear, or the you that is you disappears. Your body continues productively shoveling pre-fired ceramics into a gas flame.
It's one hell of an awkward situation they've got themselves into. Because if these people did come out of the caverns underneath the city, you know, where would they go?
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine that if this was a TNG episode, the Enterprise would gladly sail away and leave them to it.
Mm-hmm.
With Picard drinking his Earl Grey with a look of concern for having abandoned a whole section of society to slavery.
Mm.
But you said before...
No. They would require the generators to be offline for too long. If any of the critical systems began to freeze, we might not be able to get them started again.
I agree there's some risk.
Too much risk.
Okay, well, what about my other ideas?
Yes, this is the problem. So your man actually wants the workers there.
Yes, he's not even interested in a solution if one presented itself. It's like having immigrant labour. They serve a purpose. You don't really want to solve the problem by actually paying them realistic wages, because that screws up the whole economy, or getting rid of them, because that also could end up screwing up the whole economy.
Mm-hmm.
The system is flawed.
Oh, yes.
And it's easier just to keep the wheels turning than actually trying to fix it.
It clearly isn't your honour to serve, Kurt.
It's my honour to serve.
Yes, my honour to serve, right. I can see which side my Cynthia bread is buttered on. Hmm. You're a mess, Carter.
It's not like I'm making this up off the top of my head. Now, I've got a detailed plan, including safeguards.
I'm sure she knows that.
But I could make a difference here. She won't even let me.
And how long did Jack go without shaving? I've never seen him that stubbly. And it's the kind of, you know, it's not the full beard Jeff Bridges as the dude slash Kevin Flynn stage. It's at the sort of unkempt stage.
Yeah.
How do you stay so calm?
I think in another life I handled dangerous explosives.
What do you mean in another life?
I don't mean anything by it. Just an expression, isn't it?
Well, they must have the means. I mean, you look at some of the workers around there, the wags, for Christ's sake.
I've always taken strong objections to that approach. What is wrong showing workers with hairy chests, you know?
Never really given it that much thought. We are talking about men, of course.
Well, yes. That's no. Oh, God, no. I just got an image.
What are you saying, Major?
I can't imagine what scientific reason Major Carter or Dr. Jackson might have had to want to check out those ice fields. But even if they wanted to go out there, there's no way in hell Colonel O'Neill would have let them.
According to Administrator Calder, Colonel O'Neill believed the risk was acceptable.
I can't speak to that, sir. I'm not a diplomat.
No,
yes, as the Major's pointed out, that there's not even any sign that SG-1 went on an expedition.
What about their subdermal locators? Don't they have those?
I'm not aware of it at this stage. From a military perspective, he can't believe that Jack would even give his permission, which the Administrator said he did. So suspicions are being raised now.
Mm-hmm.
Look on General. He knows he's being hoodwinked somewhere along the way.
Kagan, I need to ask you something. How did I get here?
What do you mean, how did you get here? You were transferred from the mines.
No, before that.
Before?
Yes.
You don't remember?
I came
thinking about it, and all I come up with is a handful of memories.
In fairness, hon, if you're going to wipe yourself down, you take your top off.
I wouldn't have thought there were much in the way of privacy in this life.
No, I mean, it's kind of I'll be in my bunk sort of approach.
Obviously, they must breed, because where do they keep getting a regular supply of new workers?
Yes. Might we have little Daniel running around to match our little Jack? That's probable from the planet you were trapped on. A planet which just happens to be idyllic, but I wonder if she knows.
You wonder, I mean, she's that adamant, Daniel's got to do this, he's got to do that. And she's also anti-Jack and anti-Sam. You wonder, is she a plant there or something?
She looks a bit young to Jack or Sam's aunt. Never mind. What's he doing? Oh, no water. Yes.
Oh, that can't be good.
No, the little ball is floating up towards the thread. It's a stimulus trying to heal him.
Bruce Campbell.
Really?
Not the Bruce Campbell.
Oh. Why did you say that?
His name's Bruce Campbell.
What's going on?
We've got a pressure overload.
We've got to fix it.
It's too late. We have to evacuate.
It's A. You should have said, I believe that is A. Bruce Campbell.
A. Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
Daniel's the stunt double.
Did you not see My Name is Bruce Campbell?
Carlin.
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
Get these people out of here.
Still not his best outside of Evil Dead have to be, I think, Bubba Hotep.
He does do a good Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is not good. Yeah, everything looks a bit hot there.
Well, they're working together.
Bang.
Yes, Jack, that's look. Look, Jack, hit something with it.
Not Daniel, hit that.
Well, I think in relation to character, Jack indeed wanted to hit that.
Ooh, that's a lot of venting.
Mm.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
He's standing awfully close to what's potentially superheated steam.
Yes. No, don't put your finger in it. See how that's... Oh, friends for life. Surprisingly low-tech power source, though, because the civilization upstairs seems very highly advanced.
Well, yeah, but the civilization upstairs never actually peels back to see all the industrial crap underneath. Rest.
You'll stay here until I say you're well enough to work. As for you three, we all owe you a debt of gratitude. You risk your lives to save the plant.
It is my honor to serve. Right.
I suppose if they are in the middle of an ice age, then planetary exploration for other fuel sources just ain't going to happen.
Mm-mm.
Although you wonder where they're getting the whatever the combustible material is to make steam.
The planet's abundant in it. It's cheap, it's easy, it's near. It's
probably tunnelling under the dome.
It's probably got only about 15% thermal efficiency reduction, but yeah, it's all they need. They've got plenty of slaves. Keep working in the coal mine.
So even with the best intentions, the bonds between them are starting to develop.
Hey, next time, don't hold back. Just, you know, speak your mind.
She knows I'm right.
There's something else going on.
Mm-hmm. I hope the extra behind the flames there has a red light shining on them and it's not actually that hot. Why don't you stand there with your top off and sweat? You don't get any words.
He said we were part of something called SG-1.
Yeah, what is that?
A team?
What kind of a name is that for a team?
I don't know.
Because he's standing a similar distance to the sweaty no-shirt guy, and he doesn't even look warm.
Yeah, it's got to be a bit of tinted light, just to emphasise the heat and light.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big flame.
It is a big flame, and it's licking out from the edge.
All of us are part of some bigger, grander thing.
I think it was extras having a conversation. How many times do you think they're going to shoot this scene?
Yeah, anybody bring any sliced bread? Toast.
marshmallows. S'mores. I have a faint understanding of what s'mores are. I intend to try them when I'm over there. Any American viewers want to ring me up and tell me exactly what a s'more is, I'd appreciate it. Leave a voicemail. Discuss s'mores. S'mores and their use and relevance to SG-1. And are they called s'mores because after you've had one, you want some more?
I had the same dream.
Will you two stop talking like that, for crying out loud?
One of Vly's major questions.
No, one of Vly's worst puns, actually.
It's an expression, right? Look, can't talk right now. Let's meet after lights out.
He's starting to question whether he should be sharing his bunk. I mean, why bother with blankets? Seriously.
Yeah, it does look a rather warm environment, doesn't it?
Although, as you sleep, your body, even if the outside temperature doesn't drop, your body can actually get quite cold. The circulation slows down and stuff.
Not quite got round to inviting Tor yet.
Bandage guy.
Yeah, bandage guy.
You see, it's not really dragging. We're more than halfway.
So, do you have the same dream?
About you?
No, about the shimmering circle of water.
No. My dreams are about...
Yes, Jack, what are your dreams? Wink, wink.
What are your dreams? And he just gives Carter a lingering look.
That's it. Daniel dreams about the Stargate. Sam dreams about blueprints and slide rules.
And
Jack, they're a real man, a whole bunch of them.
Well, no, Jack dreams about blueprinting Sam, I think. And there may be some side rules involved. Certainly a degree of measurement, anyway.
My memory's fine.
Really?
Yeah. What did you do in the mines? I mined.
Mined? Yes, an obvious answer.
We're shoveling ore into a cart. And I did that a lot.
Yeah, so they've only got the basic recall, not any specifics.
Indeed.
I remember a feeling of cold and darkness.
And that's where the two of you met? Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Like a dysfunctional married couple trying to remember the first date.
So what's this important thing we're supposed to be doing? I told you I don't know. I keep trying to remember, but all I come up with are images of this place.
And we went out for ice cream. No, we didn't. You were wearing the blue dress. No, I wasn't.
Other things.
That's it, Daniel. You're getting there. Pretty good brainwashing technique. I mean, they've still got their intellect and still got the vocabulary.
So that's what we have to do. We have to question everything, every assumption, everything.
We have to keep this to ourselves. If the others heard us talking this way, they'd think we were night sick.
What if we are night sick?
I don't think so, sir.
What?
What?
You just called Jonas, sir.
Yeah, why do you call him, sir?
So wide-eyed again. That was very Jack-like eyebrow raise.
What's an expression? Isn't it?
Is it? No. Everybody calls him, sir.
I'll come over the transcript now and look at the screen again. I really wouldn't stand there at any point.
Well, you've got a few seconds to jump out of the way before you get vaporised.
Yes, which means only say one half of you gets vaporised.
Leap over it and break your leg.
I have those medical reports you were waiting for. Major Griff did suffer some minor frostbite, but the rest of his team is fine.
Better to have a leg to break.
Thank you, Doctor.
Janet needs somebody to shine a light into their eyes.
Well, she's got a light shining into her eyes at the minute. It's bouncing off Don's head. I'm blinded, General. The light's bouncing off your head. You think they'd have applied some makeup so his head wasn't quite so shiny?
So that's it?
Short of going to war, all we can really do is break off diplomatic relations. I'm not authorized to do that just yet.
Yes, all they can do is go to war, and they won't let me do that.
Not fair. I want to go to war. God knows. You can only blame Donna Davis. I mean, American presidents have gone to war for less. You're going to edit that out.
No, I'll leave that in.
If it'll provoke a comment, then so be it. You can even put it on the show notes as a quote.
As far as I'm concerned, they need us a hell of a lot more than we need them. Apparently, Administrator Calder doesn't seem to think so. Frankly, I think he likes things just the way they are.
Doesn't leave you with many options, does it, sir?
No, it doesn't. Which is why I've ordered Major Griff to draw up a covert search and rescue plan.
Covert search and rescue? how are they going to get through the gate without anybody noticing?
Yeah.
Let's face it, we've met another alien species that have pretty much screwed us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad job she's got, is it? The cook or the serverata?
Oh, well, she's a sort of higher level plebe.
Oh, was it Daniel giving her? Didn't she like crackers?
Any more dreams? I saw the pool of light again. Except this time we were all there, including Tor. I dreamed about mining. Naked.
I wonder what that actually is.
I hope it's oatmeal.
Oatmeal is already white.
Yeah, you can mix a bit something in it.
Could it be creamed oatmeal?
SG1, DHD, GDO.
Sounds like gibberish to me.
Well, it must mean something.
Excuse me.
It doesn't look... It, in fact, it certainly... RDA does look like he's enjoying it. You know, he's like, oh, God, it's the Fruit Loops again. Yes, we could link back here to RDA's fundamental love of porridge.
Yeah, lots more information coming back. Empty bowl for a full bowl.
Hmm. It's a dome from upstairs, isn't it?
Yeah.
That means something.
What is it?
I don't know yet.
I suppose your assumption of that I've only been missing for a few days is based upon the level of beard that Jack and Daniel have, yes?
Yeah, that would be reasonable.
I can go nearly a week without much visible beard.
Well, like I said, you know, the environment outside the dome, you wouldn't survive more than an hour if without any safety equipment. So if a team's out there for a couple of days, then you can assume they're dead. So it can't be much longer or they'd already be MIA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see you made some new friends.
Yeah.
Carlin.
Sorry, Kagan.
No, let's not check his wound. This is when I pop up and go, hi. And then do a tap dance down the bar going, hello, my man, hello.
I don't understand. His condition's getting worse. Come, let me check his wound.
Under no circumstances are you to remove those bandages.
I'm assuming you're familiar with the scene I'm referring to.
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said. I was trying to actually watch the episode.
Oh, you didn't enjoy it yesterday.
Yeah.
The scene I was referencing was at the end of Spaceballs.
Oh, I don't really like the movie.
Okay. Was he pretending to be asleep?
He was pretending. Whatever they did to him has obviously been circumvented by the symbiote.
Yes, and they foolishly used the same drug again, figuring it would have the same effect, but the symbiote was like, ah, I've seen you before. Zap. Somewhat similar to the Reverend Mothers in the Dune series.
I remember something. There's a man. He's bald and wears a short-sleeved shirt, and somehow he's very important to me. I think his name is Homer.
Doesn't ring a bell.
This scene's beautiful, look.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, gorgeous.
Well, it's got character in it, of course, it's beautiful. Note to self, don't go all fanboy over Sam. I was just suggesting Sam as names for kids for pregnant colleagues.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Oh, bless. Head on shoulder. That does require people of roughly equal back length.
Mm.
In fact, she doesn't look terribly comfortable. Speaking from personal experience, it's unless there's either a reasonable amount of fat or a fair amount of muscle there, that's not something you can do comfortably for long. The shoulder, the bones of the shoulder tend to dig into the side of your head. It's sweet, it's romantic, but it's not something you can keep up for long without somebody going, ow, my ear hurts.
I remember feeling feelings.
For me?
No, for Tor.
Hmm.
There was, I mean, Pierre DeLuise was saying on the commentary that there was plans to have a scene where they actually kissed.
Oh.
But they decided not to go, it were a bit much.
Aww.
And he's right. I mean, this scene tells you everything that you need to know about their relationship right here and right now. Mm-hmm. It is comfortable and intimate.
Really?
You don't get that from this.
I don't know if they were actually intimate.
I didn't say they were intimate in terms of having sex. It was just a very close relationship.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, my mistake. Why have we got a Lego block design up the top there?
For some reason, Tor seems to be having an adverse reaction to the memory stamp. I think he may be dying.
Workers die.
Oh, that's it, Calder. You know, makers hate you even more. I suppose the workers have got to die, because it can't be any sort of pension plan. You can't have a quarter of the population unable to work. Mm. They say, you go to a better place, out in the country.
It's the equivalent of, yes, the dog has gone to a farm.
Yes.
He's not even shades of grey evil, is he?
I say, the only thing in his veins you can say is that he's a product of his environment and his civilization. There's probably been, in, you know, dozens of people before him in his position who did exactly the same.
Yes, but can he be the one that makes the difference?
They passed judgment on us, Brenner. I'm simply doing the same.
I think Brenner's having doubts.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Brenner, if for some reason you can't comply with my orders...
It's an honor to serve, Administrator.
Yes, it is.
And what is it with people who only have single names? Doesn't that get confusing? What do you mean somebody else called Brenner?
Perhaps this society has rules against that a name can only be used once.
And once that person dies, that name cannot be spoken because it's been reallocated. It's quite possible our names are allocated from a central register.
It could be. Like Logan's Run, Logan's 3, Logan 4, Jessica 5 and all that.
Mm-hmm. There's an almost Roman sort of senatorial attitude to this guy, isn't there? I mean, there was
He's living the life of luxury, fresh fruit, which must be, even in this, the society above ground must be pretty rare.
Well, they mentioned greenhouses at the beginning.
It depends, I suppose, what the population is. Mm.
Very impressive. Too bad it's a lie.
I don't understand.
While we were on the grand tour, Carter spotted some ventilation shafts coming out of apparently nowhere. We checked it out.
You were supposed to stay with your escort.
Yeah. I can see how you wouldn't want outsiders to know about the slave labor force you keep underground.
That looks like Kiwi, actually.
It is Kiwi. Yeah.
Did Peter comment?
He did, yes. All the map painting work is done by Kent Matheson, who worked on about 19 episodes of Stargate.
Mm.
I will not recommend trade with a culture that enslaves its own people. I don't care what kind of technology you have to offer.
Anyway, this is our initial... So is this an indication that Jack's starting to remember?
Well, he's remembering what happened previously, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, you know, he faced down Calder, and Calder probably realised he's going to have to do something about it, because he still wants to get the gate addresses so they can start exploring and bringing in all the resources. In his viewpoint, means people.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that can't be good.
In fact,
no, indeed not.
What we done?
I'll show you.
Jonah, Thera, report to Brenner's quarters.
Something happened to her? Oh, that's Teok.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes, they don't seem to realize that Teok's away.
Where's his bandage? What's his bandage doing off?
What are you doing?
Good orders to take him up to Brenner's room.
Is he waiting until the numbers are... That must have required help, because Teok does not look like a light guy.
Yeah. Her conscience has finally got the better of her.
Put him down over there.
It's like you suddenly coming out with Gahana what I thought. You wouldn't have a clue what it actually means.
No.
You're dismissed.
What's the matter with him?
He's dying.
Kill Noreen.
He's not even sure why he said that, is he?
No, it's just a word that came to him. Well, like Jack, when he had the ancient language in his brain.
Mm-hmm. Jack has more than one brain.
It's a kind of meditation. He has to do it every day or he gets sick.
He's got a spare.
The man with two brains, that's not really a brain. I know it often does a lot of thinking. But...
because he can't remember.
Colonel O'Neill is correct. As you've begun to suspect, all of you have had your memories altered. You are Major Samantha Carter, Dr. Daniel Jackson, and your friend here is named Teal'c.
Where does Homer fit in?
Homer? Who's Homer? You'll figure it out, Jack, don't worry.
Eventually.
At first, I thought it was necessary to protect the city, but now things have gone too far.
Unfortunately, in this sort of closed society, even the slightest bit of rebellion is probably going to be stomped on heavily. I mean, the best she can hope for is to get these people off the planet.
Home?
Yes, through there.
Oh, yes. Who's been a naughty girl?
Administrator Calder.
Brenna. I must say I'm disappointed, but not surprised.
Teal'c waking up and beating the living crap out of the two guards.
Yes, this would be a good time, Teal'c.
I've been coming to my senses.
Either way, you're no longer of any use to me.
Oh.
Will you shoot him in the arm? I know you have a sense of timing. I know you appreciate dramatic tension. I know you've been a smug git for the past three episodes. But, I mean, for the love of God, man, if you're going to shoot somebody with that little plastic toy gun, of course, he can't give the speech to her.
Behind you. Oof, that looked painful. Don't squeeze her arm like that.
Teal'c? You all right?
I am.
What happened?
When I removed my bandages and realized I was unlike the rest of you.
It took him that long to peek under his bandages.
I placed myself in a deep state of Kel-Noreem for the night. My symbiote restored me to health.
Brenna should be all right if we can get her to the,
infirmary.
Right.
He would kind of obviously look at the bandage like, hey, he's somebody's not telling me something here. Yeah.
At least it itches a bit.
Hey, Teal'c. Now you know what it feels like to be left out with vital strategic information. The shoe's on the other pouch now.
Yep, you're right.
And this is where this show takes a little step to the side. Mm. Jack is actually going to try to screw the society over.
Mm.
The only problem with this, of course, is that there's only a couple of dozen people down there, and this facility must have hundreds, surely.
Yes.
I'd like to introduce you to someone. This man has been keeping you locked up down here while he and his friends live it up on the surface.
What are you talking about?
Don't listen to them. They shot Brenna.
Yeah, we've never seen you before, and you've dressed rather well. Yes, I got promoted. So continue working hard, and you too could be promoted.
They've been hiding it from you your entire lives.
It's a lie.
He's telling the truth, Kagan.
You can't let them get away!
Who are you?
It's a good question.
My name is Calder. I was a supervisor in the mines before I was transferred.
Yeah, whatever. You want proof?
Mm-hmm. No!
Yeah, that's pretty fragile glass.
Yes.
I'd expect something a lot tougher. Bit of a giveaway, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, look. Buildings.
Oi. Now, logically speaking, if that's unfiltered sunlight, depending on how many generations they've been down there, they would have no defense from that perspective.
No ice. No snow.
I suppose you could assume that whatever the food source is, it's laden with vitamins to maintain skin pigment and whatnot.
No vitamin D, leads to swollen joints, etc. You can't have unhealthy workers.
No, that's true.
That's why we're going to offer them a better place. There's this nice little tropical planet out there where the beaches go on forever.
And you do get the idea that this was an engineered situation, not just something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You and your people can do your own shoveling for a while.
You're destroying a way of life.
That's a shame.
At some point, this civilization put people down here for the sole reason of being workers.
Now, what's wrong with him just calling an additional, 300 guards? She seems remarkably blood-free for someone that's been shot. I mean, there should be a bloody grey hole in her arm. It did look like a really crappy little plastic gun.
It hurts. I know. Try not to move it. I'm going to take you home with us. Thank you.
Yeah, I can say a little disappointed now. They had something for a while.
So, Colonel.
We'll always have the underground.
Mm-hmm. Major.
That bald man you were trying to remember?
General Hammond.
Right.
He's from Texas, you know. It's all coming back.
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
Yeah, not Homer.
Sir.
Who is Homer?
Let's go home.
Yes, sir.
Oh, bless.
We could always come back and visit.
Maybe find a little bunk. If they want, they could dress up one of the barracks rooms like that and disable the camera.
Yeah, why not?
Russell Ferrier.
Yeah, Major Griff.
Yes, it popped up. So that weren't quite as terrible as you gave me the impression it would be.
No, I don't think it was one of the better Stargate episodes. Had some nice little points in it. I mean, the Jack and Sam relationship was well done. Cinematography, again, fantastic. They really do make the most of the limited sets they have. You know, in this case, the old abandoned power station.
Peter DeLuise, yet again, the hardest working man in SG-1. At least in this season, anyway. He's done at least half the episode so far.
So far, him and Martin Wood, yeah.
That were beneath the surface, as you said. Not, I can't imagine it'll score highly in the poll, let's face it.
Nope.
Aside from Window of Opportunity, is anything going to score in the poll? I mean, you could open the poll with you normally launch the poll around episode 11, though.
Around halfway, yeah.
Yeah, we're about halfway. Now, when we record episode 11 or when you release episode 11?
I have no idea. It gets released when it gets released.
Fair enough. Next week's episode sees Peter actually take a break. And it's not Mountain Wood either, it's William Geraghty.
Oh, good for him.
Point of no return. When a quirky conspiracy theorist contacts SG-1 claiming to know classified information about Stargate, at first they think he's bluffing. But when they investigate his wild claims, he reveals a lot closer to the truth than I thought, and has a few more shocking surprises up his sleeve. Dun, dun, dun.
I seem to recall that being rather a fun episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On the next Stargate, SG-1.
It would appear base security has been breached.
I want to know who this man is.
Someone knows SG-1's most guarded secret.
A top-secret government program involving travel to other solar systems.
Sounds like a good idea for a TV show.
But is he simply a lunatic?
I'm from outer space.
Now that's just crazy talk.
Or a pawn in a high-level conspiracy.
What do you know about Martin Lloyd?
Classified.
The truth lies beyond Earth.
We abandoned the ship and came down in the pod.
We.
The threat is beyond comprehension.
We better get out of here. This thing is counting down.
Richard Dean Anderson stars.
Clear the area!
On the next Stargate SG-1.
Okay. Sorry, that was Daniel. The other Daniel, not this Daniel.
I'd be amazed if this Daniel contacting you.
So would I.
Did you tweet, by the way? Did you put a message on Twitter?
Yes, I put a message on Twitter about 3 minutes before you came on.
Just say the word.
Open the iris.
We have feedback. Our friend Daniel emailed the Gatecast via gatecastpodcast@gmail.com with a couple of tidbits on Scorched Earth. Sorry, guys, just listening to Scorched Earth and caught two things. No, Alan, they're not contagious. The chief woman of the village was blind. They mentioned it at the beginning. Also, we actually get a mention of the Inkarans in the episode Watergate. Sorry, guys, don't hate me. Daniel. Feedback is always appreciated, Daniel, especially when adding to or correcting elements of the show. Yes, Hedrizar was blind. It was the actress herself who, thanks to the contacts, was unable to see anything clearly. As for the Inkarans, after the fact, the throwaway line in Watergate makes some sense. It was only a little nod towards continuity, and I wonder how many people spotted it on first watch. I didn't, but it does add that little extra depth to the story.
The map readings indicate a very low UV level. All other indications suggest a positive environment.
Sounds good.
It's going to take us 2 weeks to get the Inkarans fully transplanted.
If the plan proves to be suitable.
It better be, they're running out of time.
Thanks, Daniel, for contacting us. Always welcome. Or is anyone who cares to comment, be it via email, the various contact forms on the Gatecast website or Facebook page, or even better, an MP3 voicemail. That would be excellent.
That was fun, actually, isn't interaction in episode 69. Daniel was like, where? And you were like, here. And I was like, here. which you did. And that pretty much wraps it. I'd like to say thanks for downloading, listening. As always, you'll shortly hear ways you can contact us, how to get the other episodes, etc., etc., etc. But unless you've got any final thoughts?
Not as such. I mean, I think this episode, I went into this episode, you know, fearing the worst. But it did go a bit better. Second time viewing, I still think it was one of the weaker episodes, but when you kibitz an episode, it always makes it a little bit more fun.
If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us, we're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. Thanks very much for listening, and hope to hear from you next week.
So we'll see you next week then, folks. Take care.
Okay, I've been Alan.
And I've been Mike. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visitors at gatecast.facecast.com.